"At any rate, Father," he said out loud, looking at the priest, "Anvil Rock, Tartarian, and North Coast have made it clear enough they aren't prepared to countenance any sort of armed resistance. And before he left for Chisholm, Caleb, damn his soul, made it even clearer than that, that anyone who wasn't prepared to swear fealty to him would be deprived of his titles and his lands." He shrugged. "I can't say it came as any great surprise. That was the reason he summoned us all to Manchir in the first place, after all. And however bitter the pill may taste, he's also the one who won the damned war. So I don't suppose anyone should be astonished when he acts the part."
"And this abomination, my lord? This Church of Carus of his?"
"And he delivered the same ultimatum to the clergy, Father," Stormkeep admitted heavily. "I'm sure you'll be hearing from your bishop, your new bishop, I suppose I should say, to that effect soon enough."
"Bishop Executor Thomas has accepted the schism?"
Yair stared at the Earl in disbelief.
"No. In fact, the Bishop Executor and Father Adrian apparently managed to get out of Manchir despite the siege lines," Baron Larchros answered for Stormkeep. "No one seems to know exactly how they did it, but the fact that they seem to have done it suggests Emperor Caleb isn't quite as infallible as he'd like us to believe."
"Then who?"
"Bishop Claremont, or I suppose I should say Archbishop Claremont," Larchros said bitterly, and Yair blanched visibly.
Claremont Gerling, the Bishop of Tartarian, one of the Princedom of Coruscant's most respected prelates, came from the temple lands themselves. To be sure, the Gerlings scarcely constituted one of the truly great church dynasties. If they had, Claremont would undoubtedly have ended up with a more prestigious bishopric. But he was still at least a distant cousin of several current vicars, which had always given him a great deal of moral authority within the ranks of Coruscant's clergy. Worse, he'd served his see for 16 years now, without taking a single vacation trip back to Zion, and earned a reputation for unusual piety in the process. Having him acknowledge the primacy of the heretic Stainer constituted a serious blow to the church's authority, and one of Yair's hands rose. It signed the Scepter of Langhorne, and Baron Larchros barked a laugh which contained very little humor.
"I'm afraid the good bishop isn't the only servant of Mother Church who's turned his coat, or should I say his cassock, Father," he said flatly. "In fact, I think that may have been the most disturbing thing about this special parliament of Caleb's when you come down to it. Over a third, almost half, really, of the princedom's bishops were prepared to proclaim their loyalty to the Church of Carus."
His lips worked in disgust.
"And where bishops led the way, is it any surprise the rest of the priesthood followed suit?"
"I can't," Yair shook his head. "I can't believe..."
He broke off, and Stormkeep reached out to pat his knee with a comforting hand.
"It's early days yet, Father," he said quietly. "Yes, I'm afraid Gerling truly intends to reach an accommodation, shall we say, with Caleb and Stainer. I don't pretend to know what all of his motives are. On the one hand, he's known Tartarian for years, and as far as I know, they've always been on excellent terms. That might be part of it. And to give Shan Wei her due, I suppose it's possible he's at least partly trying to head off any sort of pogrom here in Coruscant. The Carisian version of the Inquisition is hardly likely to treat any open resistance by temple loyalists gently, after all. Although," he admitted to himself a bit grudgingly, "this Viceroy General Cherman's marines have been a lot gentler than I would have expected, so far at least. Musket butts and bayonets are bad enough, but bullets are worse, and he's been mighty sparing with those, under the circumstances. And maybe Gerling, Anvil Rock, and Tartarian all see an opportunity to feather their own nests and Shan Wei while heading off any pogroms, Lartros said bitingly, in response to the Earl's last observation.
And maybe that as well, Stormkeep conceded.
You said over a third of the bishops have accepted Stainer's authority, my lord, Yer said to Lartros. What's happened to those who refused?
Most of them have gone into hiding, like Bishop Amelaine, I imagine, the Baron replied, and this time there was at least a hint of genuine humor in his thin smile.
Amelaine Garnot, the Bishop of Lartros, had mysteriously disappeared before Lartros set out for Chiraeth. The Baron didn't officially know exactly where Garnot had taken himself off to, but he knew Father Erwain did. So did Stormkeep. That, in fact, was the main reason the Earl was prepared to speak so frankly in front of a mere chaplain he scarcely knew personally.
With the semaphore stations in the hands of Gerling's sycophants, the Baron continued more somberly. It's hard to know what's really going on, of course. A lot of bishops and upper priests refused, like Bishop Amelaine, to obey Caleb's summons at all. In the case of bishops who refused, he and Gerling appointed replacements before he left, and Viceroy General Chermans announced his intention to send troops along with each of those replacements. He says there will be no mass arrests or persecutions of temple loyalists, as long as they refrain from acts of rebellion.
Lartros snorted viciously.
I can just imagine how long that's going to last.
But Caleb and Stainer have been excommunicated, Yer protested. No oath to either of them can be binding in the eyes of God or man.